is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly. And so was I.
Wealth of information, not only on my show page with bbsradio.com, but also for all the listeners in Pal Talk. We have a website set up for you and a wealth of information so that you will be able to explore the wonderful works of our guests for this evening. So you'll actually be able to walk through the show with us tonight. And, you know, I'd like to say this to each and every one of you this evening. As you all know, most of you know, I am a mother, and I love my son. He's done great things in his life, and I look forward to, as a mother, to continue watching him become more and more successful, especially when he reaches out and becomes service to humanity. And you're probably sitting there tonight wondering, okay, what's your point? And what's really interesting is that today we are the parents of children worldwide and always have been. And it is our responsibility as a whole to really tune in into our children and our world, especially of the times that we're all facing. And the reason why I'm sharing this with each and every one of you tonight is that our guest tonight has really dedicated and focused and tuned in to our children worldwide to bring forth and address the everyday concerns that our children have today. How does that relate to our own spiritual, personal spiritual path and our spiritual path in the world that we all live in today? And it is such a real honor to have this man tonight come together with all of us to not only share his wisdom and his insight, but he has dedicated and committed a wonderful book titled Spiriting Around: A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself, that is really speaking the language of our children today. So with that, allow me the opportunity to share more information about our guest this evening. His name is Mark Tombeck, and Mark grew up in the Jewish tradition on Long Island in the 1960s after his family moved from Brooklyn in the early 50s as part of the post-war. While not a religious person, he was always naturally inclined to his spirituality as a consuming interest, even as a child, before he knew what spirituality was. Boy, I can relate with that statement. Unfortunately, he became mirrored in the drug culture, which was part of the great social revolution of the 60s. While many pass through that time as part of their normal growing up, for Mark, it was a catastrophic and stole the most informative years of his young life. The part where youthfulness, confusions are supposed to get the guidance that tells them how to be a matured person. And I know, even for myself and many of you tonight, can actually identify with these statements. And while not formally educated beyond high school, he was always smart and never stopped reading and thinking. So as soon as he pulled himself out of that time of 1966 through 1974, he set about to fix himself and build the kind of confident life he always wanted with this real work starting in 1971. So Inspiriting Around is the product of over 35 years of steady effort to explain what he had found and made it easier for anyone else who might want to use it so that their life wouldn't have to be so hard. Let's all give our guest this evening, Mark, the author of Spiriting Around, A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself, to the show. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much, Leilani. Hello to you and hello to all your listeners tonight.
Thank you. It is really an honor to be with you tonight, and I'm extremely impressed how well you have really tuned in and simplified a lot of our questions today, not only for just our teens, for children around the world, but I found it to be extremely useful for myself as an adult. And you have actually shared through your writings even areas that I didn't necessarily understand that these were concerns of our youth today. So thank you for the great work you're actually have been doing out there.
You're welcome. It's you can get an idea of it when you see how much media is available today. It's hard for a young person to understand that it hasn't always been this way, but this is something ever since they invented these electronic media, these broadcast media, this ability to communicate with many people at the same time. And now we have TV. We didn't always have hundreds of channels, and we didn't always have the internet. But young people today and new adults, they grow up with this, and they have to manage it. And in a very real way, adults cannot help them know how to manage it because it's new. These many channels are new. What adults can do is they can share responsibility, mutual respect, consideration for others. The way human beings relate to each other when they're just two people, when they're people in a restaurant, when you're paying a bill, when you're an employee, when you're an employer, the general relationships between human beings and mutual respect, that doesn't change. So this has to be adapted to this great power, this ability to communicate, the internet, for example, and this great access to the media, which with YouTube and MySpace and the social networking, it's two-sided because you have the responsibility of human contact to human contact, and at the same time you can say whatever you want. And I think the beauty of the internet is that a lot of people are expressing themselves in ways that they've never done before. They're being open, they're relating, they're saying whether you're a goth or a hippie or into spirituality or into sports or whatever, you can relate it and you can find other people with similar interests. And it wasn't always that common where, you know, people had small groups of friends and they couldn't always do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really interesting, you know, as I sit here and share this with all the listeners that are tuned into this show, we are seeing it every day, and this has been a building undercurrent that has been unfolding itself for quite some time here on the planet. And our children today really, truly need us. You know, not only just for us as adults to really start tuning in and understanding their needs and the different challenges that they may have, it's also important for us to remember as well that these children that have been coming in since the 80s are very gifted and very connected spiritual beings. And they've come here to this planet, and they're trying to understand, you know, what's going on here. And they're facing challenges that I thought my challenges as I was growing up was, you know, a big deal. But they've got so much more that has compounded itself in our world today. And that's where your work is so important for our youth today, because they are indeed our leaders.
And it's true what you're saying. This is their challenge. And the information age, it's more than just a label. It's something they have to, understand. They have to understand how to work with it. They have to learn where certain choices take them in different directions. And then they have to learn to if they make a mistake, to back up and to correct it and go in a different direction. And a lot of the basics of making choices, that's where adults with the traditions of the well-exercised traditions of social cooperation, that's what adults can give. Because teens and new adults, they're always going to be the cutting edge of a society's social growth. Whether it was the 60s or the 70s with the me generation and going on, everyone explored something else, and they really were prepared. As clueless as it seems somehow, the whole culture does grow to a point where it allows its teens, its young people to be that cutting edge. And they go out and explore this like 500 years ago we explored the world and we went across great oceans. Now they have this ocean of information that they have to explore and understand, and I'm sure they'll do it. This is the human dynamic, is to be successful. You know, we bang around a little bit, but we, you know, it's 100 steps forward, 99 steps back, but we move forward and we learn and we grow and we share this throughout the culture. And it's an exciting time for them. It's exciting being an adult and watching all this unfold and also understand how they're grabbing at it. They're grabbing at YouTube. As soon as they see it, they want to be a part of it. And they make plenty of mistakes and plenty of carelessness, what they don't understand of just getting along in life, that we're all in the same boat. And everyone's got problems, and everyone has to deal with it. And certain people deal with certain aspects of it better, and others don't. So the sense of community and mutual respect and caring about things and caring about each other, this is what the generation of adults and society, this is what we have to share and show is important to our new adults as they run out and test the limits of this great information age we're embarking on.
Yes, and I do know that, you know, just through my own personal interaction with our youth today and just through observation as well, I mean, they are really hungry for that deep understanding about their own spiritual connection. And, you know, how they fit into, you know, the whole picture of what's unfolding in our world today. And as we all know, we have all these wonderful youth that are so incredibly talented and high intelligence level and have so much to offer us. Even 3 years old are exercising, you know, their keen intelligence level, but yet at the same time, I'm also seeing where these children are really reaching out and saying to all of us, help me to understand not only myself, but to give me that space and that room to expand, and how can I participate with what's going on today, even though that they could dance circles around us, and I'm sure you understand that very clearly.
It's very important what you just said about understanding the spirituality. You know, they're confronted. I read somewhere there are 4,000 different religions. So they wonder, you know, everyone's picking something else, and, you know, why is spirituality important? How is religion spirituality? And it's easy to get it confused when you're 18 or 20. It's easy to get it confused when you're 50 and 60. These are critical questions, and I think it's important for them to understand that love is the essence of their spirituality. And that means it's identifiable. That means they can see it. And I think the beauty of religions, and this is all religions, I really do love all religions. I like anyone who's trying to understand the world and their responsibilities to God and their responsibilities to life and their responsibilities to themselves. And even if people say there is no God, I just ask people to consider what I'm saying in the sense that have an open mind about it. That's all I'm saying. And understand that whatever you believe, you do see that there's love in the world. There's caring, there's affection for friends, there's affection for family. You might love a hobby, you might love your country, and many people love God. So,
absolutely, because I do know that unconditional love is definitely the key.
And the interesting thing about unconditional love and loving yourself to begin with, to engage on this great personal crusade of being alive, is that you learn it. You learn self-love in an environment of conflict and cooperation. That's what life's about. Like, you know, if you weren't here to have the challenge, you know, you wouldn't bother being born. This is part of the experiment. This is part of the examination. It's a funny thing what people do. All day long, from the moment they wake up to the time they go to bed, all we do all day long is we ask ourselves questions. In a reasonable way, you could say that life is just a big question machine. Because, you know, it's through our questions that God explores God. God explores God's existence and experience. It's through questions, constant questions. And I think it's important to understand that God respects us for these questions and not knowing the answers, and God is willing to participate with us and help us. It's not like anybody in the world is hanging off the edge of a cliff. You know, just by their fingertips, they're supported. I also ask people, if you want to understand love, then you have to use it. God expects you to want proof. And if you're going to believe that love is reliable, you're going to have to test it and try it out and make sure it's going to perform. And this is a reasonable thing.
Yes. Well, you know, it's really interesting because I'm sitting here, you know, for a long time. And even today, I have to make sure that I'm constantly, you know, being aware of my actions, my words, all of those. And I've gotten to a point where I really appreciate that I've been able to achieve that. Does it always mean that I express that? Absolutely not. But what's wonderful is that I'm more and more allowing myself as an individual to allow myself to be who I am and to express that through my words and actions to others. And, you know, I've always known for a very long time that I had all this love, just so an abundance of it, and we all do. And what's amazing to me is that's what's refreshing about this book, Mark, because not only have you geared it to help our young teens today, but you really opened my eyes up as well. I'm able to take this information and even work on bettering myself as an individual and also to build and become better at my relationships or communications with not only with other adults, but with our young ones as well.
Well, it's very important to have conscious values. And when you have conscious values, the interesting thing is it may not be appropriate to expect. One of the problems that young people have, it's never going to go away, is a lack of resources. They don't have the finances. They don't have the experience. And they may be in a family situation where they may not even have a car or something like that. So it's important that when you have conscious values, you want to be able to express them, but very often you're not in a situation. You know, you may be in a family situation where don't be an accountant or don't be an actor, be an accountant, you know? And you really suppress from my heart everything. You know, my friends say I'm great and I love doing this. And sometimes you must maintain your personal dignity quietly in the sanctuary of your own thoughts. And never give up that dignity until you do have the resources and the opportunity. So, very often, this is a part of learning your maturity, that you do not yield your values, but sometimes you have to learn the appropriate time and place to start expressing them. And you'll always find places where what you want is happening. And very often what you have to do is physically put yourself in that location where other people are doing what you like and participate. And you know, if you can't give it 100%, always give it 100% in your heart and your mind and you do what you can. And part of growing up is accepting this and being patient with yourself and being kind to yourself that you have to wait and just loving yourself and as your opportunities and
absolutely. Yes. Well, let me ask you this question, if I may. How is a teen spirituality different than any other kind of spirituality?
That's a good question, Leilani. Teen spirituality, it's about spiritual responsibility, and that's the control that a person has over themselves, their choices. And teens, they want to be able to trust the control that they have over themselves. And they need experiences to prove that what they know is reliable. And love being the essence of spirituality, so that they must be confident that love is going to be reliable. And they want to trust it, but they have to test it to believe it. And it makes sense that they want a foundation from where they can go out and explore their potential and have this strong foundation that they know is true and reliable.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because I was recapping, you know, as I was growing up, you know, and I know that all the listeners can relate with this, you know. My parents didn't understand me. They didn't understand that I had to explore, feel, taste, and touch. But what I found through my exploring my own journey is that I had these wonderful experiences that allowed me to make more solid and more, you know, better choices for myself as an individual. So I had that measurement. And even when, you know, it's like putting your hand on the back burner on the stove and it went, ouch, that burned, I was able to draw upon that experience to become real and authentic with others, you know, even with my friends that I was growing up with, and it carried on into our adulthood and into my adulthood. So let me ask you this as well, and before I ask you this question, for all those that are just joining us on this show tonight, our wonderful guest this evening is Mark Tombeck. He is the author of Spiriting Around, A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself. And if I may, Mark, would you share your website to all our listeners this evening?
Thank you very much, Leilani. The website is spiritingaround.com. That's www.spiritingaround.com. And I think people enjoy the site. I update it with a blog, and I have a MySpace connection there, and there's some interesting things there. And if they go to the back to the press room page, even though they're not depressed, I think they'll find some interesting and worthwhile things. I think it'll be fun if they want to order a book. There's an opportunity to order the book there. But I try to keep it fresh and interesting. I think people like it and enjoy it.
Well, I found it extremely informative. It brought a lot of interesting insights that actually helped me to understand myself better, along with my own interaction with our youth today. You know, not only am I a mother, but I'm also a grandmother. And, you know,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I'm very proud of being a grandmother. I have two wonderful granddaughters, and I just love them. But with that said, before I ask you this question, we are getting quite a few comments from our listeners, and I would like to honor the listeners by sharing this with you. Free Child says, teens are more independent to their own explorations due to more homes with two parents working and the unending info on the Internet. Would you like to comment on that statement?
Well, there are many issues here. Not only are two parents working, and a lot of kids are kind of raising themselves with their community, their clique, their local friends, and not even an authority representation like a school or something like that. And we have single parent families, many women raising the families by themselves, and what they wind up with is maybe under the best circumstances you could have something, but the day tires you out. You might get a cold, and you might have more than you can handle, and you're exhausted. And when either two parents working or a single parent working wants to give guidance, or, you know, understands it, that they don't have it in them. So it is a tough time, and the reference to the Internet, but what we see on TV. And a lot of it is simply distractions, and even the news is presented not so much as a you're a teen or you're a new adult, and then you have to bring yourself up. We want you to understand these responsible things. They're selling products, and if they can tweak somebody's emotions, or if they can get someone excited, or like these car ads or something, you know, they boom, and the rock music is blasting, and you lose all your common sense, and you just like you become like a lemming, like a robot, attracted by the music and the driving pitches from the advertisers. It is hard, and it's harder than ever before. I do trust that modern youth is capable of dealing with it.
Yes.
But I said before, they still need the guidance. They need guidance from adults, and they need balance. They won't have all adults won't have all the answers. And it just goes back to something you said about yourself. But, you know, very often you look for an adult who's going to be the perfect adult and tell you everything what to do, and what they tell you to do is they say, oh, this is survival. You know, you have to make money, and you're never going to do well that way, and at least you'll be sure, and times can be hard sometimes. You know, they have experienced the recessions. They have experienced the loss of loved ones and the loss of livelihoods and things like that. And adults see the worst of it, and they say, you know, don't drive too fast because you can get in a car accident. This one was killed and this one is crippled. And kids say, boy, this is great fun. Or new adults, I can drive, I have freedom, I can go wherever I want, and it's exciting, everyone's laughing. So they have to realize this balance in a practical way, and that's what, all I can say about that, the modern society is, it's going to get more intense, it's going to get more complex, it's going to get more complicated. I think adults have to just, you know, put it out there, you know, the possibilities and opportunities that exist if you set things up for yourself a certain way, and the avoidable problems, the things that happen when you're not cautious, when you don't use your common sense, when you don't listen to someone who's been there before. And you can have an easier, simpler, more productive life that will give you what you want. We're not asking the new adults to do what we want them to do. We want them to do what they want to do.
Yes.
But be safe in doing it, but avoid the problems in doing it, and also have an eye out for opportunities that they may not realize. So, such is life. It's been like this in civilization for thousands of years, and I believe it'll continue. So, you just have to have faith in love and trust in love, and I think that faith is trust in love, and I think that loving God is trust in life, and I think you have to have that.
Absolutely, because I know as I was growing up, you know, that there were a lot of times my mother used to say to me, it's none of your business, you know. As a child, you know, I would ask these questions on different, you know, things to understand, or, you know, I heard things like, you know, you should be seen and not heard.
Well, not every parent is Gandhi.
Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, I had one of those spirits, and, you know, I can really relate to you, Mark, and you know, it was like it was really refreshing to open up this book and really read it, because not only did it help me to really tap in into myself at a deep level, I also found that it was bringing things up that I had even forgotten about in my youth and growing up and my experimenting out there, and how fortunate that I am that, you know, I was able to see the difference and at least become the person I am today. And I'm always working to achieve to be a better individual. And it's so interesting because I was having a conversation with someone just recently, and I said, you know, what has happened to us teaching our children today the basic foundation? You know, and I was always keen on that with my son, is giving him those essential tools for his own personal growth. And then, you know, as a mother, I always sat once a week with my son, and I would really plug into him and talk to him about different subjects, you know, what was going on in our world at that time, and to help him to understand those things a lot better. Or take him to the public library and let you and I together research, let's say for drugs, for instance. Let's go research drugs and let's find out together the different levels of effect if you chose this direction. And you've captured a lot of these wonderful insights right here in this book.
Well, basically, there's only two problems you're ever going to find in life. And that's, number one, it's confusing. And number two, it's uncomfortable. And we grow up with inhibitions, which naturally protect us. And as we mature, we learn to deal with these inhibitions and accommodate them and see what we can release as no longer productive, as no longer helpful, and also sometimes you know, they become ingrained habits, unfortunately, and like crutches, and they're hard to release. But the kindness you showed your son, and first of all, you know, you said before how you enjoyed the book was the nicest thing you possibly could have said to me. Thank you very much.
And, well, it's the truth, okay, Mark. I mean, it's an absolute truth. I mean. And that's the beauty of it, because once I pick up the book and I really read it, you see, the thing is, Mark, is that the listeners that tune into this show, I have a responsibility to my listeners, not only to the ones that are tuned in, but, you know, whatever they take with them, they are going to share this information with their families, their friends, their coworkers. And it becomes a ripple effect. And when someone places trust in the information that you bring forward, you know, I hold that very dearly in my heart. And this show has really been blessed with some really incredible guests for the past 4 years. I couldn't say enough. And The thing with knowing that I have a great responsibility to my listeners, and when I share with them, yes, this is a great book, I really mean that. I'm beyond the lip service, because our world today deserves truth. They deserve the information, because it's been withheld from us for so long. Wouldn't you agree?
I do, and it's interesting, because not everyone is going to find harmony with what I have to say, but there are a lot of people who it will make sense to, and it will resonate with. But if it doesn't, there's many, many people talking about the same thing. And if one book or one person's way of looking at life and sharing their insights doesn't make sense to you, just go to the next one. Keep going until you find someone who has a truth that meets your own mind, meets your own sensibilities. Either today or even in history. You know, sometimes, you know, people recommend a certain writer or a certain book, and you take a look at it, and you can't get through the first page, or it doesn't make sense to you. But you just go to another one. Keep going to another one until you find someone. You say, boy, this person writes right to my consciousness. I understand what they're talking about. I see what they're saying to me. And that's what I ask people to do. Don't give up. Like you say, this personal work and effort. You want to be happy. You want to be in control of yourself. And you have a clear goal for yourself, this responsibility you feel to your listeners to bring this consciousness in the writers and in the people of the experience and give the seminars, to bring this consciousness that grew out of spirituality, that grew out of the New Age, that grew out of testing existing norms, exploring religions, asking religions to one of the nice things I like about religions and why I love all of them is because each of them is a different window on God, is a different window on love and spirituality. And they're all great, and they'll appeal to different people, and there's different major religions and sects.
I agree.
Offshoots. And they're great. You know, and same like I was talking about the books. You can explore religion that way. You don't have to take my point of view. You can look at another person, how they identify love, because every one of them is doing the same thing. They're all trying to define what love is and the meaning of right behavior. And
so let me ask you this. Because one of my listeners has put this forward. And I agree, so please forgive me, and thank you for calling me on that. One of the questions that's been, well, one of the statements that have been presented is, you know, they'd like to hear more about the spirituality part of the book. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. So if I could, Mark, have you explain how you were able to really express the spirituality in the book that you've written?
Well, it goes back to love being the essence of spirituality. And when you know that you have love, people have a better idea about and an understanding what love is. And love is also everywhere in everything. So you could also say that God is everywhere in everything. So in every experience you have, really, love is the basis for every experience. The meaning of life is the love you create. It's the combination of the love you give and the love you receive. This is the coin of the realm. This is the only thing you're going to take with you when you leave this place.
Absolutely.
It's about love. So spirituality is asking people to get in touch to consider it. A lot of people don't have the same, you know, there are people who are atheists, and that's fine. And all I want people to do is have conscious values. You know, if that's the way you think, your mind tells you is the reason for life, that's fine. You know, I have my own thoughts about it, my own questions about atheism, but I like people to have beliefs. I like people to take a stand in life. So getting back to spirituality, it's about love. And it's identifying love and seeing the as you see your experiences and one of the most important things that I believe is in prayer, and in being sincere in your prayers. I think that this. Can I tell you a little story?
Absolutely. If you'll give me just one moment, please
hold
this. The story that you'd like to share, because real quick, I'd also like to share with all the listeners this evening, I'm actually going to be reading a passage to all of you on page 129, and it's chapter 4, and the title is called Recognizing a Friend. A friend's love is precious. Gender doesn't matter. Kindness does. Trust, support, and acceptance makes the difference. So how do you know someone's a friend? First, you have to know that many people like you are looking for love and friendship. Then how are you supposed to know the difference between a loving friend, a casual acquaintance, and some codependent person who simply craves the comfort of any human contact? A codependent relationship support, but it really trades on weakness, where the friends suffer but seek security in a familiar situation. In contrast, a healthy relationship builds you up instead of surprising life's healing process. A friend won't accept your weaknesses if you're trying to maintain a position of dependency. Very nice. And my listeners are used to hearing me say all the time, it is time for us to stand side by side and show the support to each other. We have all the same hopes, dreams, and desires. And God always said, when two or more gather in my name, there shall be power. And when we refer to power, what it really means is that you are giving your sister or your brother the permission to be successful, to love themselves for who they are. So if you would share that story with us, we have about, can you share it with us in about 2 minutes?
I think so. It's about sincerity. And I was watching TV a while back, and it was coming from Washington, D.C., and they had some congressmen and some senators and some national religious leaders. And one of the religious leaders says, we have people praying 24 hours a day. And I thought to myself, is 24 hours a day better than 23 hours a day? And it just took it all the way back, better than an hour, better than 10 minutes, better than a moment. And I realized, like the Bible saying that faith as much as a mustard seed is enough to move mountains. That faith and the sincerity in a person's prayer is sufficient. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying 20 minutes or an hour, even all day long, if that's important. If that's your sincere desire to connect yourself to God, but it's not in the material. It's not in the action. It's not in the quantity that's important. What is important, that life asks us for quantities and actions. What love asks for and what our spirituality asks for is our sincerity. That's why when they say the little child brings up $42 in pennies they collected for the March of Dimes or something, they say, gee, it's the thought that counts. And someone else gives $1 million. Well, you know the truth? It is the thought that counts. It is that sincerity. That sincerity that touches your heart to God's mind, and that sincerity in a prayer, that sincerity in a kind thought, that is sufficient. So the important thing in prayers is to have faith sincerely in your prayers, and that's enough. That reaches God.
Well, thank you, Mark. Can you believe it? Our hour is up. It has been an incredible show. I personally want to thank you for coming onto this show. And thank you for loving our children around the world, to have sat down and really put a wonderful book together titled Spiriting Around, A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself. The website is spiritingaround.com. Great book, guys. Really great book. Thank you, Mark, for being who you are. It has been a real honor and a pleasure to have you with us this evening. On that note, I want to thank and bless each and every one of my listeners this evening. And remember, you matter. You are constantly making a difference in our world today. So on that note, I will reconnect with each and every one of you next week right here on the Universal Spiritual Connection. Good night, Mark, and good night to all the listeners. Thank you.
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly. And so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly. So was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets, he was born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.